whatever travails we face in this world, whatever troubles there might be, we will not fear, because Jesus has died once and for all. And we in Christ have made him our dwelling place. We live and we move and we have our being in him.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. We're living in unprecedented times these days, and we're set to hear a very timely message from Alan, coming from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, very recently. It's Safe in the Shadow of His Wings. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program today, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource. It's a book and two CD message bundle called A Childlike Heart, and it's very timely for the day we're living in. It can be yours for your donation this month to Sharing the Light. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. And we are in the final days of this offer. You can contact us at sharingthelight.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But Alan Wright joins me now in the studio as we talk about these unprecedented days and a timely message you preached, Alan, to an empty room not long ago.
Well, I tell you, you have to chuckle wherever you can. And I loved what I saw one pastor. He said, honestly, I wasn't planning on giving up this much for Lent. And so,
that's right.
You know, preaching to an empty room. But we turned, as I bet a lot of pastors did, to Psalm 91.
Yeah.
The precious promises of God's protection. And Daniel, we don't know why some people get sick and some don't. We don't know why certain terrible evils come, and plagues and pestilences. But I thought it was very important to turn our attention to the promises of God for his protection. Mm-hmm. It's a time for a bold proclamation that God is a protector. For all that we don't know, we do know this. He loves us and he is a protector. And so what better place to go than Psalm 91?
The message is titled Safe in the Shadow of His Wings, and so let's get started with today's teaching. Here now is Alan Wright.
William Booth founded the Salvation Army in 1865. Dr. Thomas Barnardo set up children's homes. Christians advocated for the blind, pioneered the use of Braille worldwide. The idea of nursing was born out of Christians. A group of devout nuns in AD 650 volunteered to take care of the sick in the Hotel Dieu in Paris. In the 17th century, a parish priest in Paris set up a nursing order, the Dame de Charité. And Florence Nightingale herself said she felt called by God to do what she did, and she was influenced by a small Christian hospital in Kaiserswerth, Germany, that was run by deaconesses. And so she founded the first nursing school. I could just spend hours describing to you, this is the heart of the Christian. God is a protector and a healer. We have God in our life. We want to protect. We want to heal. We want to be a part of the solution, and we're not afraid. Back then to this beautiful psalm that's all about the believer being able to trust in God's protection and provision. Look back at the psalm with me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The shelter, it literally means a secret place, a hiding place. The dwelling place of God has with it the idea of being hidden, hidden away. Like Paul described in Colossians 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We're dwelling in some sort of hidden place, the psalmist is saying, deep in the heart of God, hidden from the enemy's tactics. And in the opening two verses of Psalm 91, the psalmist uses four different names for God. The Most High, that's El Elyon. Shadow of the Almighty, that's El Shaddai. I'll say of the Lord, that's Yahweh, the personal name of God, the covenantal name of God. And God, my God, that's Elohim, the name that is so often used of God himself, the one who is the creator. It's like the psalmist wants to make it clear that I'm referencing you, O God, for all of who you are, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who is El Shaddai and provides in mysterious ways, Yahweh, the covenantal God who has revealed his own name to us, God the creator, who is up close with us. And then at verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. I will say, beloved, remember during this time the power of our speech. What you talk about is what you magnify. Let us magnify the Lord. And then he references the psalmist, both the seen and the unseen dangers. He speaks of not fearing the terror of the night, the unseen things, nor the arrow that flies by day, the visible shows of force, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, those hidden dangers that your imagination begins to wonder about, or the destruction that wastes at noonday, dangers that are seen and discussed in the open noonday sun. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side. It's not an invitation to arrogance. It's not an invitation to say, well, look, we're so much more protected than everyone else. It is instead about where you put your eyes. It's as if the psalmist is saying, don't think about what you see happening to other people. You're not to be comparing that. You're to be thinking and magnifying about your place in God. You know, don't let your mind go to hypothetical places because what you hear is happening somewhere else. You keep trusting in God. You've made the Lord your dwelling place. It's the imagery of the tabernacle or of the temple. According to a story in 1 Kings chapter 2, a story about Joab, we know that by the time of Solomon, there was a tradition that an accused person could come and seek refuge in the tabernacle at the altar. And Psalm 91 keeps referencing these images that make us think of the tabernacle, the meeting place of God with people. And the tabernacle, until the time of Solomon when he built his majestic temple, the tabernacle was actually a mobile tent, and it would be set up with a fence around it. So I think we have an image of that. You could see the tabernacle itself is like a tent, and there would be an outer courtyard with it. Maybe we have a diagram I could show you that there'd be a bronze altar and in the outer courtyard, and then what was called the holy place had a table of showbread and an altar of incense, and then there was a curtain, and behind it was what was called the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was the place where rested the Ark of the Covenant, which was considered to be the manifest dwelling place of God. It was a remarkable golden box that had within it portions of manna, the flaky white substance that God provided to sustain the Israelites in the wilderness, the tablets of the law, the word of God, and Aaron's rod that had miraculously blossomed, a dead stick that had burst forth into living blossom. That's inside of the ark. The specifications for the cover of that ark are very specific according to Exodus 25. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. That's what that cover is called, the mercy seat. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length and 1.5 cubits its breadth. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them on 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on 1 end and 1 cherub on the other. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat, you shall meet the cherubim on its 2 ends. And the cherubim, the instruction said, shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces one to another, toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I give you. So, when you think of what in the world the scripture means of being in the shadow of his wings, though some have suggested it's the imagery of an eagle or the pinions of its feathers and how there's shade and comfort of a bird that's parenting its young, I think there's something much more that Psalm 91 and all these other references are pointing us to. It's pointing us to the mercy seat of God. It's pointing us to the golden cherubim and their wings that are outstretched, and under their shadow is the mercy seat of God.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching from Alan's important, relevant message for today in just a few moments. I do want to tell you, in the midst of this uncertain world and time that we're living in, especially as it relates to the coronavirus, our special offer right now couldn't be more timely. It's a special bundled gift that includes two audio messages from Pastor Alan, as well as a copy of Alan's book, A Childlike Heart. It's a way to combat worry and fear and lead you into the freedom and wonder of childlike faith. When you support Sharing the Light right now with your gift of any size, we will be happy to send you these two audio messages plus the book as our thank you for your support. You're keeping the ministry on the air, the message of hope going strong here through Sharing the Light, and we certainly welcome your gift and communication right now. Visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or again, online, sharingthelight.org. Just a note, we are in the final days of making this special offer available, only available for the next couple of days. Visit sharingthelight.org or call 877-544-4860. You are listening to Sharing the Light, and once again, back to today's teaching, here is Alan Wright.
Now, what would happen is that once a year, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, only one day a year, and only one person, the high priest, would go into the Holy of Holies and would sprinkle on the cover of that mercy seat. Underneath those watching cherubims would sprinkle the blood of the lamb, of the ram, as an atoning offering on behalf of the sin of all the people of Israel. So what happened was the people were represented by a high priest who wore an ephod and had 12 jewels on a breastplate representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And that priest representing the people on that one day would go behind the thick curtain into the Holy of Holies, and there he would sprinkle the blood. And that blood was symbolic of the slaying of an innocent one on behalf of the people so that they do not perish for their sins, but an innocent one did. And every year this would happen. It was the way the sins of the people were temporarily covered. And what happened was that when Jesus Christ came, he came as the high priest. He was both God and man. He was the mediator of the new covenant. And what he did on our behalf, the writer of Hebrews says, is that as our true great high priest, he entered into the Holy of Holies. And he's speaking figuratively and mystically, and says that in a heavenly sense, in a heavenly realm, if you could understand that the high priest would go in with the blood of a lamb and sprinkle it on that mercy seat once a year on the Day of Atonement, you could understand what Jesus did. When he was crucified on the cross, he was both high priest and Lamb of God. And what happened was a mystical, miraculous, and wondrous gift. That high priest Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies, And there he sprinkled his own blood, for he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he did this once and for all. And so the image, therefore, is that the blood of Jesus was what was always being pointed to by the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, with the cherubim's wings overshadowing that blood-covered, gold-inlaid lid. And that mercy seat takes on new language in the New Testament. It is what Paul calls the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What the writer of Hebrews is saying here is what Paul has said over and over in Romans. This is what the whole proclamation of the New Testament is. This is what makes everything about the good news so good. It is that Christ himself has gone into the Holy of Holies and offered his own sacrificial blood on our behalf, so that we who have no merit of our own, we who have no righteousness of our own, through simple childlike trust in the gift of Jesus Christ, have made effective for our lives the fullness of his atoning work. There in that blood that sprinkled on the mercy seat, there at the seat of atonement, there at the throne of grace, Christ's blood has been shed for you. His blood has been shed for your sins. It's been shed for your diseases. It has been shed to overcome death itself, so that everything that is good about the good news is summed up in this, that Christ became our sin, that we would become his righteousness. And it means, therefore, that the entirety of our assurance, our safety in this world, and the promise of eternal life to come, all of it is summed up in the mercy seat of Christ. There, pictured in the Ark of the Covenant, is the shadow of the wings of the cherubim who are overlooking the blood. The blood that was prefigured day of atonement after day of atonement for centuries until Christ came, and it all made sense. It was all a shadow, and was pointing to the day that Jesus himself paid it all. So what it means, therefore, to be safe in the shadow of his wings is that we are the ones who come with no other plea except for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's more than enough for us. It's why what you want to do this evening, as you pray over your own life, over your family, over those that you love, and you break out Psalm 91, and you say of the Lord, "You are my refuge and my strength," that what you're saying is, "I am pleading the finished work of Jesus Christ, and not my own work or my own righteousness. It is not by my stripes, but by his that I'm healed. And I come and place myself and all those that I love under the shadow of his wings." There's safety there. You are eternally safe in Christ. And whatever travails we face in this world, whatever troubles there might be, we will not fear, because Jesus has died once and for all. And we in Christ have made him our dwelling place. We live and we move and we have our being in him. Well, it was a dark and stormy night. I was in second grade. All of the sounds and the dog barking, and the police had pulled up. The power was off. What was happening? What sort of intruder was there? And all of a sudden, poof, the lights all were shining brightly on the front yard. And there was my brother David in his underwear. He had heard the dog barking and went to try to fetch him and get him back in. There was my dad saying, "Don't shoot, don't do anything, it's just my son." And what had happened was that a storm had blown through and the power was out in the neighborhood. And so the neighbors across the street were walking back and forth in their house with a candle, which caught the interest of our dog Brownie, who somehow escaped and was barking as he watched the candle go back and forth. That's why the power was out. That's why the dog was barking. And that's all that was going on in the front yard of the Wright household. Because when the light turns on, things that were in the dark that seemed so scary don't seem scary anymore. And there will be a day, beloved, in which this virus that seems so scary to the whole world now, it won't anymore in the light of day. And we who are in Christ are called during this season to find refuge in the shadow of his wings and fear no evil, but do all we can to help others, to pray for the world, and to tell them of the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. We're safe in the shadow of his wings, and that's the gospel.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light in our timely message today, Safe in the Shadow of His Wings, from Psalm 91. Alan is back with us in the studio sharing a parting good news thought for our day today here in just a moment. Stay with us. I do want to tell you, in the midst of this uncertain world and time that we're living in, especially as it relates to the coronavirus, our special offer right now couldn't be more timely. It's a special bundled gift that includes two audio messages from Pastor Alan, as well as a copy of Alan's book, A Childlike Heart. It's a way to combat worry and fear and lead you into the freedom and wonder of childlike faith. When you support Sharing the Light right now with your gift of any size, we will be happy to send you these two audio messages plus the book as our thank you for your support. You're keeping the ministry on the air, the message of hope going strong here through Sharing the Light, and we certainly welcome your gift and communication right now. Visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or again, online, sharingthelight.org. Just a note, we are in the final days of making this special offer available, only available for the next couple of days. Visit sharingthelight.org or call 877-544-4860. Alan, everybody's focused on what our world is looking like these days, which if there's any bright silver lining, we're all in this together. We're all facing this same battle together, and there is good news, obviously, in the gospel.
Well, and there's a spiritual thirst, I think, that's arising globally.
Yeah, yeah.
Where am I safe? And what we see from Psalm 91 is the witness to the whole of the scriptures, and that is the safest place in the cosmos is in the shadow of his wings.
Yeah.
And by that we mean a reference figuratively to the mercy seat that then later the writer Hebrews calls the throne of grace. Those yeah. cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant that oversaw under their shadow of their wings, that place where the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the innocent animal. And once and for all, Jesus has shed his blood for us. And there, under that blood, we are eternally safe. So in that sense, we cling to the finished, final, and full work of Jesus Christ in his cross. Daniel, we're really praying for our neighbors, for our country, and for the world. And maybe I should just lead a prayer. Yeah. Those with us by broadcast, join your heart with me. Father, we are so thankful for the final and full and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of those sacrifices that were offered on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant were just pointing to the day that the real sacrifice would come, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, we have so many questions, things that we do not understand, and there's so many uncertainties for future days, but of this we are certain. You are on your throne, and it is a throne of grace. We pray for our listeners that you will cover each under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And I'm praying for our listeners, Lord, for their protection, for their families and their loved ones. And we're praying for this nation, and we're praying for Father, for good solutions, for a spirit and a bond of peace, and for spiritual renewal. And we're praying, Lord, for the whole world. Where once we are perceiving that we have a common enemy to humanity. And Lord, may it be that this would be a time of global awakening of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for a good and timely end to this virus. And we pray even more, Lord, for our hearts to be drawn to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.